You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and I have the privilege and pleasure of sitting across from Sheena Teal. Sheena is an Irish-based, Kildare-based performer and happens to be in Canada visiting, and originally a German background, I understand. Sheena, welcome. It's great to sit down and have a chat with you.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Let's go back to the background. Tell us about the German background.
Yes, so I was born in Germany. My dad is Dutch, actually. My mom is German. Okay. And to make it more confusing, when I was 10, we moved to Spain.
Okay.
And then I lived in Canada for a while. I lived in Vancouver, actually, for a year. Lived in the States for a little while.
Okay.
And then I decided that I needed to finally follow my passion and follow my heart. And I moved to Ireland to pursue music as my career. And that was in 2015. And the rest is history.
So, can you speak German?
Yeah.
Dutch?
Nay.
Spanish?
Por supuesto.
Vancouver, right?
Oh, what's that? Asian?
I don't know. It's fascinating. So, you moved 2015?
Correct.
Why Ireland?
Because the crack is mighty.
I
was back in at that moment. I was working in offices, right? So I suppose you have to kind of go back to my childhood to answer that question properly. So music was always my passion. Like when I was 7 or so or 6, I begged my parents to buy me a piano, which they did. I think they regretted it promptly because I only knew one song. But boy, did I play that one song.
Chopsticks?
It was which one was it? Oh, it was it's a German one. It's kind of a little but a little tune, right? But I repeated it a lot. But anyway, I started writing little songs and little melodies, and already at that age, and music was really my outlet. Like my mom would always say, when I came back from school, first thing I did, I'd drop my school bag, I'd sit at the piano, and she'd know exactly what kind of day I'd had, because either I was playing kind of mellow stuff or I was kind of angry hitting at the keys. Like so it's always been my outlet. And then when I was 15, I was super close to dropping out of high school and pursuing the arts and going into acting and music and all that. And my teachers just said, don't do that. Like, sure, you can always do that whenever.
Just when you got a real job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. After you get real, just after you're unhappy for a while, and that's exactly what I did. So I thought, they must know better. And I finished school. Fair enough, kids, stay in school. School's great. But I finished school, and what do you do after school? Go to college. And so I did that.
I didn't do that.
I studied psychology for 5 or 6 years.
Ooh,
and it's too late now. And what do you do after college? You get a job that you hate. And I did that too, and I ended up in an office, and I just hated every single second of it. I was counting down the minutes on the clock. I was blue every Sunday, crying like a hound dog on a Monday, no pun intended here.
Are we in Ireland at this stage?
No, so this was in Spain still.
Oh, okay.
And I was just dreading every second in the office. I felt like I was wasting my life away, like I didn't have a purpose. I'm sure many people can identify with the feeling of driving into work and just going, here we go again. And until one day, I just thought, life just... You can't be living life for the weekend. Life is too short to be unhappy. And I decided to sell everything. I grabbed one guitar and one backpack, and I said, Mom, Dad, I love yous. Thanks for paying for that psychology degree, but I'm going to bugger off to Ireland now. Okay. I'm going to be a musician.
So, Sheena, how would you describe your genre?
My genre, I would describe as undescribable. I am a huge lover of music. I get huge inspiration from all sorts of genres. So, I mean, I play Irish and Celtic folk. I also play country. I also used to front heavy alternative rock bands.
No, because I was waiting for you to go to country, because given the misery that you went through, I felt you'd be well able to sing it.
Oh, you'd only go through that with a glass of bourbon in your hand, But anyway, just I love music in general, and especially Irish music. I have a huge connection to Irish music for many reasons.
Now, what do you mean by Irish music?
So, Irish Celtic folk.
Okay, because one of the reasons I ask is one of what I try to do mm-hmm. is share Irish music, and that people have a perception that that's fiddles or boxes, whereas to me, Irish music is Mary Coughlan, Jeanette Byrne, Van Morrison, Sheena Teal. It's the whole. Like,
I'm in good company there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's not all instrumental, traditional, in that context. So that's why I ask in a way that the broad genres of Irish music that exist, and when I say, well, what's Irish music to you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was on tour for 2 years now with Dan McCabe, who's a great balladeer. So yes,
he's Mayo, isn't he?
Kildare as well.
Yeah, okay.
Kildare as well. So there is so much talent. So I have a huge connection to Irish music and Irish culture for many reasons. One of them, for example, being that I actually come from a family with a strong immigration background too. So I was just actually in the house there with my family a day ago, looking through a book of our family history that we have there, which traces back to 1845.
Okay.
So I have family that came from Russia and the Ukraine on my mom's side, and there were four brothers or five brothers, and they emigrated. One stayed in the Ukraine, one went to Canada, one went to the US, and one went to Germany.
Okay.
And so I really, I think I have it in my blood, you know, like the Irish emigrated all over the world mm-hmm. in search for a better life, and I always joke that I did it in reverse.
Right.
I went to Ireland for a better life. But yeah, so that feeling of missing home, you know, of kind of, yeah, feeling at home maybe in many places, and I can definitely, I don't know, I can identify with that on a deeper level, maybe an ancestral level. Maybe we're getting very esoteric here, but
well, I know there was this immigration into Ireland over many periods of time, even though it may not have been well recorded. And during the Second World War, there were quite a lot of Germans who came into Ireland around that time as well, and were welcomed.
Maybe for the wrong reasons. which side of the fence are we talking about?
You know, the problem is that you need to get rid of the fence. But why Kildare?
I initially, so when I decided I was going to do music as my career, I knew there were two options, sink or swim, and I just refused to sink. I knew zero people in Ireland. Like, when I moved to Ireland, mm-hmm. I knew zero people. I had no money. I had one paycheck. I had no social media. I'd never played a professional gig in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really was determined to make it work mm-hmm. and just to find my way. And again, I ended up working in an office just to make ends meet and mm-hmm. to study. I studied at a music college there in Dublin called BIMM, B-I-M-M. And then after a year, I studied part-time, and I came to a crossroads again. And it's so funny. I'm a big believer in signs and, you know, how what's for you won't pass you by, and life just puts these things. It's very woo-woo here now.
No.
Hold on to your tin hat.
I know. It's not so. Just that kind of thing. You get to a crossroads. There's supposed to be signs there.
It was different. Actually, do you know what? You are very right. And I love... I'm a musician. Like, my brain works like... And a songwriter. My brain works like that. And I love what you just said. Because you're so right. Like, whenever you're at a crossroads in your life, oftentimes we turn inwards, right? And we get really confused, and we get so focused on trying to listen to our own voices, which are super conflicted, so we get even more confused. But it's exactly what you were saying. If you're at a crossroads, you need to look outwards, because probably there will be signs.
Yeah. Problem in Ireland is most of the signs are turned the wrong direction. I know. I rely on the GPS. I don't trust the signs.
Oh, I remember once we got lost. I think it was somewhere in Mayo or so, and asked for directions. This was at the very start of going to Ireland, and I just looked at the man, and I couldn't make out a single word he said. I was more lost than before I had asked for directions. But anyway, as a little side note, so yeah, so That year,
so you've been at the crossroads. You've seen
the
signs. Yeah. So now the signs have told you to go somewhere.
That's it, yeah. Turn back. Get out of there quick. No. I was at a crossroads and I wanted to study full time, but I had to work, and how am I going to make this work? And I don't even know how long the show is, so we might have only 5 seconds left.
It's okay. I'll edit it all out.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. Sure, then. Sure, look, your grand. That's great. So my name is Sina Thiel. Thanks for listening today, and follow me on Facebook.
You got that in there. Okay.
Let's anyway, see. I was at the crossroads and I decided to go busking for a living.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite funny. I went back to my mom and dad for the summer. You know, what do you do when you're lost in life? You look for the signs and also you go back to mom and dad, okay. You know, to feed you properly, one last meal. So I did that and I saw a guy busking on a street in Spain.
Okay.
I was working at a shop and he stood there in front of the shop. He was playing an Irish tin whistle and making Little Puppet dance. And bless his soul, it was absolutely dreadful. But
he was making money.
He was making money.
There you
and I said, if he can do that, I can do that. And that's what I did. I borrowed a guitar off a friend, and the next night I locked up the shop and I stood at the same spot. Poor fella, I took a spot. There had to be casualties somewhere along the way. But I started making money, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. I saw the sign and I said,
from the beginning.
Wrist, that's it, elbows out, and I'm gonna do this. And that's what I did, and I started busking on the streets of Dublin, and that's how I got through.
If busking on the streets of Dublin, particularly on Grafton Street,
mm-hmm.
the caliber of those who busk on Grafton Street is very, very, very high.
Yeah.
So when you head out on Grafton Street, given that it's a busy spot, unlike performing somewhere where you have an audience, all these people are walking by. Is it a challenge? Do you get disheartened, or do you have to motivate yourself in a different way in that environment?
Well, I mean, for a start, yes, the level on Grafton Street is very high, so I busked on Henry Street. No, I did busk on Grafton Street, of course, a few times.
50 cents for the apple.
You know, between selling socks and you know, and t-shirts, I was also playing
Fire
a few
crackers.
Tunes. It was great, yeah. And the Christmas sweaters, don't forget them. But anyway, so long story short, so yes, Grafton Street is a very competitive spot, and people queue up for hours, right? So they can play a 1 hour slot on Grafton Street, mm-hmm. right? So when I saw that, I said, no way, Jose. And I went to Henry Street,
okay.
which was closer to my bus stop. You see, it's German efficiency here.
Is that what that is?
No, but to be fair, like, that's one thing I think about me is that it doesn't need to be fancy. It just needs to work.
Okay.
And when I compared...
There's on Henry Street, so.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, there is, yeah. There is. Anyway.
Don't worry, I'll keep throwing you off track.
If you've been to Dublin, you know why I'm laughing.
Yes.
But anyway, so... No, it just needs to work. And for me, Henry Street was a good spot because it's just... In my opinion, as a busker, in my experience, you make the same amount of money, and you can play for longer. There are no people queuing, so for me it was a no-brainer. Fair enough, busking on Grafton Street is more renowned and has that name.
It's a bit like playing Freelands instead of somewhere else.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Which I've done too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I have, of course, busked on Grafton Street, but I used to busk on Henry Street, actually.
Yeah.
So yes, I've seen it all.
So going from busking to getting a gig
mm-hmm.
and turning professional.
Yeah.
Not an easy task. How did you get it? How did you make that transition?
That's a very good question. I'd love to ask myself that as well, and I many times do. I see life like this, right? It's getting esoteric again.
Yeah,
Hold on to your tin hats.
Yeah, 6 years of psychology and...
You can't exercise it out of me at this point.
No.
But so I always think, right, when I look back at my life, I've asked myself this many times. Like, how do you get how did I get here? How do you get from A to B? Or people sometimes will ask me this, like other musicians that are just starting out. They say, well, what do I do? How do I? And I always think it's like driving at nighttime, right? When you're driving at nighttime, you can only see 20 meters or 30 meters ahead, right? Whatever your headlights are lighting up. But still, there you are, flying down the highway at 120 kilometers per hour or 80 miles or whatever, trusting that there will be a road when you get to the next 30 meters that you can't yet see, right? Like, you can only, if you think about it, really, you can only see your 20 meters ahead. And then when you get to those 20 meters, you can see the next 20 meters and the next 20 meters. And at the end of it, hopefully, you arrive at your destination.
Then you look back and you can only see 20 meters back.
Well, there you go. This is what happened to me. It's all fading away at the age of 35.
So where was your first gig? What would you classify as your first official gig?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'd say it got really real when I was opening for the Whistling Donkeys at the INEC Arena in front of 4,200 people by myself, and my whole gear stopped working. So only my microphone would work, guitar, stomp, everything had cut out. I think probably, like, that's the best baptism you can have.
That is. That's enough to kind of say, if I can get past this, I can survive.
That's it. And to be fair, I was very lucky that I just kind of, I think I just kind of put my hands up and signaled people to clap and just sang the chorus and everybody clapped too. And then I kind of heard a pop and I thought...
I have the strange mind, so you were making an ass of yourself in front of the Whistling Donkeys.
Well,
I couldn't resist. Sorry.
They were backstage, probably, so I was safe. Okay. But and then I heard a pop, and I figured my gear is gonna be back, and I just launched in with strumming my guitar on a chorus, hope for the best, and yes, everything was back. So
now you've done your initial in the INEC. So where do you go from there? How do you get your next gig?
That's another good question. How do you get to the next 20 meters? I suppose for the last 2 years, and I got a call to be on the tour from Dan McCabe, which was a great experience. It was like we played probably, I think, 100 shows I played with him. And as well, like, I suppose if you have good people in your corner, and at this stage, I really have to thank all the people that support me and have supported me throughout the years. There are many. The Irish Music Magazine will be one of them. Yeah. And of course, the publisher, Robert Houston, and many others, too many to mention. So, I just hope that they know who they are, because I wouldn't be here without them. So, yeah, having good people in your corner, and I'm doing my WUS tour this year, and I'm here in Canada at Goderich, and it's fantastic. So, I'm just really blessed and really excited.
So, one of the challenges I'm very conscious of that Irish artists experience is that the Irish market is relatively small, and as you say, you're now coming here and you want to try and break into the North American market and look to the European market or wherever. That is also a tough nut to crack, and from a performing perspective, to kind of say, well, how do I in any way take on this gorilla?
I suppose I try, because I'm very competitive, I try not to get that into my head too much. Mm-hmm. I just believe that the signs will be there, and I believe that life will kind of take you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, when you have something very precious and very valuable, there is the danger that the fear creeps in that you might lose it. Mm-hmm. Because right now, like, I'm just living the life that I love. Like, if I think about it, like, I used to sit in this office, look outside the window, and just feel like I'm wishing my life away. I used to be unhappy every single day. Mm-hmm. And now my life is about playing music and meeting people, and like the amount of love that I get, like, from people online, and like, I just, it's hard for me to believe and to grasp. Like, sometimes I look back at like a video or something, and I'd go, that was actually really good. But at that moment, it was just hard for me to see. So I suppose, to answer your question in a very roundabout way, I try not to focus too much on it being hard, because the harder you think it is, the harder it will be.
No, and I don't mean it so much that way. I mean more that it is a big market over here, and that by having some kind of a strategy or a plan, which you obviously have, you're kind of saying, well, I need to get out there, I need to work this, and in order for it, it's not going to come and land on your lap if you don't make the effort.
Yeah, one of my favorite mottos is hard work puts you where the good luck can find you.
Exactly.
And yeah, I suppose so. First of all, I have great people in my corner who really, really help me and support me and really want this to work for me and want to help me get my, you know, get my start. So that is the first. And then I suppose the second one as well is to think, like, what can I deliver, right? Like, we live in an age where it's not just about playing anymore. Like, back in the 90s or early 2000s, you know, when you were just a young buck, you know, around 1990. like back around those days, like all people maybe had to do was play, like, and they had to be outstanding players and do an interview here or there, right? And fair enough, they had to hustle as well in their own ways. But like nowadays, it's so much about social media presence, social media content. So, and so one of the things I suppose that I try to do and I pride myself on is, you know, just getting back to people in a timely fashion. Everybody that I didn't get back to now will look and go, but no, I do pride myself in making it an easy process and again, delivering good social media content for promotion and promoting myself. And yeah, it's a lot about that, I think. Like, festivals also want to see what else can you do. Like, can you, like, can you do a TV interview? Like, before I did my debut at Motor City Irish Fest, I was on Fox 2 News, so Detroit, so the local TV station in the morning. Yeah. Or then doing radio interviews. Like, I've done a lot this summer to promote my American tour.
Okay.
And, like, if you go on my socials on YouTube, like, I have a beautiful new show reel on there that you can watch, which is a collection of feedback that I've gathered from festival performances. And so, yeah, I think definitely festivals are looking for that as well. And
now you mentioned having people in your corner, and I know we have a mutual friend in Johnny B. Broderick, and
of course,
Johnny has given you some of his material, but do you write your own material?
I do as well, yeah, and big shout out to Johnny B as well, who is a great gentleman as well and a great man to promote Irish music and artists. And so thank you, Johnny, for all you've done.
And a magnificent creator of music and lyrics. And
absolutely. Johnny was telling me before on his bucket list, I think he wanted to, was it 100 songs, Johnny, if you're listening, correct me, 100 songs released by different artists or so. So
he
anyway,
already has that, I think.
Oh, 200 so?
Maybe, it might be, but I thought he had, I think there's an album out there with, it's all Johnny B's songs, no, with different artists. Maybe it's not 100.
No, and Johnny, it's probably 1,000.
It could be.
He's a jukebox.
He's prolific. Very prolific.
But yeah, I do write my own songs. And yeah, one of the things I always dreamed about was having a song of mine that I've written on the radio or the number one in the Irish charts. And I'm just, yeah, proud to have achieved that, and hopefully we'll achieve more of it. Knock on wood, we're sitting on a metal bench.
There you go. So Sheila, we're going to wrap up, and what piece of music are we going to share?
So I think we might share one that I didn't write myself, but that really sums up my story. So it's my single that I released very recently, my 26th number one in the Irish Download Charts. It's called Girl Going Nowhere, and it's written by Ashley McBride and Jeremy Bussey from Nashville. And you're going to hear why it's the story of my life as well, and why it's an important song for anyone who has a dream.
Sheila Teal, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having me and for the banter.